Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Indiana Jones, daring and resourceful champion of history, truth, and fact, Indiana Jones, bruised and battered fedora don world traveler and proper part-time college professor, Indiana Jones. Follow us now to the mysterious sands of time to challenge the forces of evil, dispel the veil of myth, smash the icy chill of the occult, and recover the riches of the ancient world.
Thailand, 1939. They had been walking, climbing, and sometimes stumbling through the dank jungle for hours. Unforgivably hot, the canopy so thick it was stifling. You could barely hear a living thing during this, the hottest time of the day. One thing you could hear was his leather jacket alternately sticking and sliding. And it didn't help. Not in this heat. With his young guide, Bhakti, a few steps ahead of him, Indiana Jones stopped and removed his fedora, took a deep breath, and wiped the sweat from his brow.
The heat I don't mind, as long as it's just that, not snakes.
Bhakti stopped and turned.
What'd you say, Dr. Jones?
Nothing, kid. Are you sure we're still in Campaign Pet Province? Seems like we've been walking all day.
Yeah, sure. We're almost there. Very deep southern side. Place you say you want to go. Hear water?
Bhakti put a hand to his ear, smiled, and said,
very close, I tell you.
Realizing just how close they were, Bhakti continued with a chill in his voice.
My village, say, cursed.
Indy put his hand on Bhakti's shoulder to reassure him and gave him a half grin. The sound of rushing water grew louder. None of the locals, the villagers, ever came out this far, but Bhakti seemed to know his way around, an ace for landmarks and maps. He moved like a cat, as though he could see in the dark. Bhakti was on his back looking up at Indy. He helped the boy up and said,
watch out for those branches. Gary knew wasn't part of the bargain. On second thought, he might be as reckless as me.
Dr. Jones, you tell me where. I show you. But what we look for?
Ruins, kid. A very old temple.
Dead end, Dr. Jones.
Bhakti said matter-of-factly. The kid was right. They had come to a massive thicket of tangled branches and vines, one that cast a deeper shadow than the canopy above them.
We haven't come this far,
Indy started to say as he began to hack and pull at the growth. As he cleared away more of the wall, shafts of light stabbed into this forgotten corner of the world. Hot but fresh air flowed through the tiny slash in the natural barrier, dense as any great wall, he thought. Stepping through the opening was like stepping into another world. The valley was immense. Stone shapes, walkways, rudimentary aqueducts, and pools fed by two waterfalls. The sun dancing brilliantly off the water, blinding Indy and his young guide for a moment. But where was the temple? Indy's eyes narrowed. He put his hands on his hips. He exhaled and nodded.
Let's go.
Yeah. We go fishing?
They began an uneasy descent, rousing birds and skittish deer. Despite occasionally slipping on slick stones and loose moss, it didn't take long. Obscured by the mist from the twin waterfalls and their reflective silver curtain, stood the Temple of King Chiang Mai.
There it is, kid. That's what we're looking for.
In the far wall of the valley it stood, under the shadow of the falls, still a wondrous achievement and an imposing fortress. He looked at Bhakti and pulled down his fedora.
Follow me.
Flanked by the natural camouflage of twin waterfalls, Indy thought.
Built by the King of Chiang Mai in the 14th century. Supposed to have hoarded all his riches here. Gold, stones.
Rocks?
Bhakti asked.
Diamonds. Rubies.
Wow.
Bhakti breathed.
no one steal rocks and stones?
Indy crouched, smirked, and opened his satchel.
Few remember anything but a curse, Bogdi, or the way in. Those who did, less returned.
Indy carefully removed two very old and faded pieces of the same yellowed parchment, matched them up, and studied them.
We'll find out soon enough if anyone's been here.
Bhakti leaned over Indy's shoulder, also looking at the ancient script. Indy continued.
This manuscript made it out. According to its legend, the temple resists all who try to claim its contents.
Bhakti seemed uneasy.
Something wrong, kid?
I live here all my life, Dr. Jones. Until you hire me to aid you, never hear of temple. Only curse.
Indy stood up and reassured Bhakti.
There's only one kind of real curse. A little taste of soap will ward them off. Not many people pay attention to those stories, kid. Unfortunately, a man named Clifford Bates did. He was a student where I teach. Very clever. And as it turns out, a liar.
They finally came to a stone bridge where much of the growth was kept cropped by grazing wildlife. Indy stopped to admire the beauty and the ingenuity of the lost and forgotten temple.
Bell-shaped, tight, shady architecture. Minimal overgrowth. Structurally, the spire and foundation look completely intact. Amazing.
But he couldn't help but think of what remained inside. As they approached, Indy's eyes darted to the temple guardian, an almost 20-foot-tall statue holding a giant and darkly stained sword.
That's odd,
he thought.
It's not ornamental. Stone doesn't rust. I hadn't planned on coming here until next year, and with a full expedition,
Indy said aloud.
But Clifford was in my files and just disappeared.
The reason why you come now?
Bhakti interrupted.
Understand. What this man look like?
Indy and Bhakti stopped in their tracks.
A lot like that. Dang,
Indy said softly.
That's a real curse, Dr. Jones.
Bhakti exclaimed, not realizing what exactly was transpiring. From behind the large Thai statue came a wiry, unkempt, blonde-haired man wearing glasses, a pistol in his hand.
I couldn't resist, Dr. Jones. Not after reading your transcriptions.
Bates,
Indy said under his breath, stepping towards the man.
Have you gone mad?
Bates smiled and raised the gun, hands shaking, pointing it at his former professor.
Mad? No, obsessed. Every night consumed by the thought of what waits inside. Who knows what's here or how much?
His voice changed, settled.
And mine, Professor?
He seemed to look right through them, becoming lost in thought, far away, alone, consumed by fevered dreams of wealth beyond imagination. Indy's hand crept towards his holstered Webley.
Don't! Hands up. Slowly.
Indy did as he was told.
Easy, Clifford. Did you read all the research material? Did you read the translation warning about those who attempt to enter?
Bates remembered, almost as though in a trance, answered,
Certain doom.
Certain doom?
Bhakti whispered, followed by a gulp. Indy felt an advantage and continued.
Are you sure you know how to get in? There's more to it than just...
Nice try, Professor.
Clifford interrupted, newly resolved as he reached into his pocket, pulling out a torn scrap of paper and holding it in a mock gesture of returning it.
I found the code you translated. The key, if you will, and I took your advice. I wrote it in my own journal.
Indy sneered. Sneaky bastard, Indy thought.
Well, at least you learned something in class,
Indy said wryly. Bhakti eyed Clifford Bates and suddenly blurted out,
You tricked Dr. Jones. You no need that.
And snatched the paper with lightning-fast quickness from Bates' outstretched hand. A startled Bates barely had time to scream.
No!
As Bhakti darted behind the pillar and then the giant guardian, Bates squeezed off three rounds, each sending sharp stones in all directions, but missing their mark. It would be the last round he fired as Indy had crossed the distance between them and landed a solid left on Bates' jaw, lifting him off his feet and sending his gun and glasses flying. Barkley peeked sheepishly from behind the giant stone statue. Indy glared at him and pointed his finger.
That was stupid, kid. Don't ever do that again.
Barkley's face began to drop and his eyes water as Indy's expression softened, and he quickly finished, saying,
Thanks.
Indy stood up with Clifford's gun, overshadowing Bates. Barkley ran to Indy and hugged his leg, knocking off his bamboo hat, and handed the paper to Indy.
What to do now, Dr. Jones?
Indy looked back toward the temple entrance, and then to the still-stunned Clifford sprawled on the ground. Blood trickled from his mouth, and he desperately began to search for his glasses.
Not much I can do. We could shoot him.
Indy deadpanned, and Bates froze, turned, and looked up at Indy squinting. Barkley grabbed his pant leg.
But I think we'll just leave him.
Indy glanced at the scrap of paper. Clifford had the cipher. How could he have been so careless? Indy resolved to be more careful with his research in the future, and for a moment wondered what Marcus might say. He put the Clifford Bates plunder in his pocket. When, if he returned to Marshall College, there would be an investigation.
He can't get in, Bakhti. And even if he could, that certain doom would get him.
Indy said with a chuckle. He glanced back at the giant statue.
No thanks for doing your job, old boy?
Indy asked, and suddenly he felt uneasy, its eyes perceiving.
Now that we've reconned the site, maybe I can get Jock to fly us in. The dry season is almost over, storm season coming. Maybe come back next spring with a team and do it right, cautiously.
Indy looked at the sky and grabbed Bakhti.
Come on, time to go, kid. Now that we know where we're going, we may not have to make camp in the jungle tonight.
Clifford slowly straightened up, put his glasses on, wrapping the ends around his ears.
Jones, just leaving? Fool. It wouldn't occur to Indiana Jones that I could still recover the text without the original.
With that, he unzipped his boot and removed a slim journal and pencil from its pocket. He leafed through the pages and stopped where the cipher had been torn from the booklet. With the pencil, he began to rub the page, revealing the impression of the code he had so deliberately etched into the preceding page. As the image appeared, he glanced over his shoulder to see Jones and the peasant boy pass through the thicket and started a self-satisfied, bold, and brash smile. Bates scurried through the scattered debris ever closer to the waterfalls and the larger standing stone slab entrance to the temple. He was too fixated to pay them mind or consider the warning of certain doom, Jones's chosen translation. As Clifford Bates wiped mist from his glasses again and again, he began to work with a single-minded determination, speaking out loud.
According to the translations, the slab was an ancient lock of sorts, with 10 vertically lined, evenly spaced holes, each fit with a lever. First, lever up!
Bates strained to move the lever, finally clearing ages of nests and debris. The lever locked into place. His hands trembled with fear and excitement.
Second lever up!
It took some effort, but the second lever also found its final position, rumbling into place.
Third lever down!
Clifford smiled, wiping the dried blood from his lips and the mist from the glasses.
Once in the proper sequence, the door should open, and then he could taste it.
As Clifford prepared to adjust the fourth lever, he heard groaning, what sounded like stone grinding together, behind him.
It's working! Opening!
He stopped in mid-thought, looked down at his feet. He noticed the stone tiles were slowly sinking, virtually imperceptibly. His expression of excitement turned to bewilderment, and then to sheer terror. The dancing prisms, sunlight reflected off the waterfall, was suddenly snuffed out, gone, and a giant shadow overtook him. For a moment, the constant drizzle which obscured his bifocals ceased.
A trigger!
He thought as he turned slowly and looked up, his face a mask of fear.
No! No!
As Indy and his young guide made their way back through the jungle, an expression of concern came over Barkley's face.
What is it, kid?
I think your student pretty smart to find Temple. And maybe he write two times, Dr. Jones. Maybe he remembered. And we just leave him?
Indy smiled at the boy.
I thought so too, Bhakti. When I read his copy, I knew he had only done half his work. Even if he had the rest in here.
Indy said, tapping the side of his head.
My translation only has a few other meanings, and none more pleasant than certain doom.
Indy stiffened, and his tone became more dire.
Still, maybe we ought to go back and make sure he's...
A blood-curdling scream cut Indy off mid-thought, piercing all other sounds. The waterfalls, the wildlife, echoing through the wilderness, sending birds to flight. It suddenly became deathly quiet, the child frozen by fear. He looked up at Indy, whose hand had flashed instinctively to his Webley, and then eased away.
Maybe not,
Indy said grimly, as they pressed on. Indiana Jones and the Temple of Yearning originally appeared in Dark Horse Comics' Free Comic Book Day by Mark Evanier, adapted for the IndyCast radio drama by Keith Voss and featured Rob McGee, Silvio Manello, Lito Valesco, and Ed Dollister, with special thanks to Pat DePortier.
Be sure to tune in next time for another exciting radio adventure of Indiana Jones.
Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller, find your next obsession, or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first three audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.